This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
The Jewish community in Durban was founded in 1874. While always having a smaller Jewish population than Joburg and Cape Town, the community there has and continues to play a prominent part in the life of the city. It also has a very active communal life. The coordinating body, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies KwaZulu-Natal Council, has recently elected as its president Alana Pugh Jones-Baranov. Alana is my guest now to tell me more. And not only is she the new president, but I should also mention that she's the first South Africa country director for HIAS, the global Jewish humanitarian organization supporting refugees and asylum seekers. Alana, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Cherise.
Alana, firstly, also congratulations, mazel tov on your election. You are a Durbanite, but I know that you weren't born there. Just tell me a little bit about your history and your relationship with the Jewish community.
Sure. So I was born in Harare in Zimbabwe, but I moved to Durban when I was very young and I went to school here and did my undergrad and then moved away to Cape Town and Johannesburg for a few years. And I came back to Durban in about 2011. So it's been wonderful to be back in my hometown and to have my young family here and to be a part of the community that I grew up with.
And it is a very special community. You know it is, I shouldn't say this, but it is one of my absolute favorites. Also just to say that you and I worked together when you were at both Cape Town and in Joburg because you were working for the Jewish Board of Deputies. So you are extremely familiar about what the board does. But not only that, you are, until very recently, our liaison for the Hate Crimes Working Group. So your work with refugees and the Jewish community has actually overlapped all this time. What's it like now, though?
Yes, it has. And it's been such a privilege for me to be involved in communal organizations and to have incredible colleagues like you and to be able to do the work that I love in terms of social justice, but to have a Jewish angle and to have that outreach. And at the moment now with my role as the country director for HIAS, so having a focus very much on refugee, asylum seeker and displaced persons issues in the country. And then to also have this new role as president of the SAJBD KZN Council, again, I'm marrying those two things together and there's so many ways that it overlaps. So I'm really, really excited and so lucky to be doing the work that I do.
I mean, the reality is the Jewish Board of Deputies were like part of the founding members of the Hate Crimes Working Group because of our involvement in xenophobia and also because of the similarities of xenophobia. We know what it's like to be victims of xenophobia, even though the word xenophobia wasn't the word used to describe Jew hatred and isn't the word to use. But nonetheless, hate crimes are hate crimes and it's something that we've worked very closely on. Just out of interest, where are we with the Hate Crimes Bill?
That's such a great question. And yes, from those early days in 2008, when our community was just so incredible with organizing the relief and supplies for the victims of that xenophobic violence, we then got involved in trying to address some of the long-term issues and core reasons why we were having this violence. And we were involved, as you said, in setting up the Hate Crimes Working Group, and we've been involved with task teams and forums along the years. And although the work of the Hate Crimes Working Group has been fantastic, sadly, we still find ourselves in a moment in South Africa where there's a rise in xenophobic violence, and it just seems to be very entrenched, and refugee issues are still so problematic. But the Hate Crimes and Hate Speech Bill has been a great success in terms of, you know, 10 years of lobbying from civil society has managed to push this bill through. It has been approved by Parliament. It went through the various processes. It then went backwards. But at the moment, we have that in place. And it's fantastic.
So it has been passed. Has it been passed?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well done.
It's true. Yes. Well done. Yes, which is wonderful. But as we know, Cherise, in our work, unfortunately, even though we can have very progressive legislature and we have other arms such as the equality courts, other laws and policies in place such as Perpuda, on the ground, we're not seeing the change that we need to see. And that's why so much of this work is ongoing and still so important.
Well, we're not seeing the change this weekend. This past week has been particularly brutal for refugees in our country with regards to access to medical health, which they have the right to. I mean, just we're veering a little bit off and we will come back to the Jewish part of it. But just talk me through what Hias has been doing and the experiences that you have had trying to combat xenophobia in light of Dudula.
Yeah, this week, as you say, has just been heartbreaking. I mean, it's very widespread, but this week in particular, we've seen at in Hillbrow and here outside Addington Hospital in Durban, Operation Dudula coming back to the fore, organizing themselves on social media, and then setting up outside a government hospital, asking people to go in and out for their green ID books, people being profiled on the color of their skin. And that's why a lot of times we talk about Afrophobia and rather than xenophobia, because it's really directed at fellow Africans. And it's just heartbreaking to see people being turned away from access to healthcare. Yesterday, I was speaking with colleagues who are working with a woman who is in labor, who's being turned away from a hospital. And we know our constitution says even those who have no documents whatsoever cannot be turned away from government healthcare. And sadly, the SAPS are not standing up and taking up Operation Dudula and these vigilante groups. But Hias SA, who also has a very long history working with the South African Jewish Board of Deputies for many years before they decided to open the office in 2023, really wanted to see where there were critical gaps existing in the sector. So to not to open up and recreate the wheel, but to work with partners on the ground. And we have been able to use a localization model of indirect implementation. So creating partnerships with key organizations and giving them funding to run programs together. And our partners, since we opened in October 2023, have been Lawyers for Human Rights, ProBono.org, and Refugee Social Services. And through them, we've been running attorney training workshops on refugee law so that attorneys can understand the ins and outs of refugee law and give pro bono hours to the refugee community. We've also been running legal aid clinics where undocumented people, refugees, asylum seekers can come and have free legal advice from attorneys on pressing issues that they're dealing with. We also have information campaigns that we've run so that people know their rights and also South Africans know what rights foreign nationals have in this country. And then through Refugee Social Services, we've been running therapeutic community uplift, particular focus on refugee and asylum seeker women and youth. And we've been very involved in advocacy work because that is so crucial. We've joined forums such as Kopanang Africa Against Xenophobia. We are a member of KOMSA, the Consortium of Refugee and Migrants in South Africa. And we've been lending our voice to calls from civil society where we've tackled government on issues such as the very regressive white paper that government tried to push through before the elections that would see South Africa withdrawing from the 1951 UN Convention on Refugees, which would just be a terrible move for our country, and to speak up against xenophobic violence. But unfortunately, at the moment, I think in the run-up to elections coming, we're seeing a new wave of violence on the ground, and it's very much around medical issues.
Alana, it's incredible the work that you've done in such a short space, and it really is meaningful work. And I was just going to ask you, I mean, since 2008, we know that there's been a constant sense of xenophobia in the country, but every now and then we do get these flare-ups, and they do seem to be, I don't want to say political, but they do seem to be orchestrated in a way. What is your feeling as to why these flare-ups happen?
Absolutely, Charisse. And again, it's the double-edged sword of social media, which can really be used for so much positive, but unfortunately by these vigilante groups such as March for March, South Africa First, Operation Dudula, they get utilized to whip up anti-foreigner sentiment and then to organize meetings and on-the-ground action. And as we know, words translate to action so quickly, in historically and now today. And unfortunately, a lot of this hateful rhetoric we're then seeing is organized violence on the streets. And sadly, this issue around foreign nationals is very politicized in South Africa. It gets used by politicians and political parties as scapegoating. Yeah. And it's something that our community is, as Jews, we know very well how this works. There is a lot of frustration around the healthcare system in South Africa at the moment. It is failing. But the problem with that and the responsibility for that lies with government, yeah. Not with poor Zimbabweans and Congolese and people who have fled for their lives, fled to build a better life for their families, who are, you know, rightfully have access to these institutions. So we're seeing it being targeted, and it's so important, I think, and that's something HIAS has tried to do, is to reach out to different community leaders, to reach out to faith-based leaders, to put forward the truth of what actually blessings refugees and asylum seekers can be to our society, and to try and change those hearts and minds.
Oh, not an easy job. Let's turn our attention now back to, I mean, the similarities. We've also, the Jewish community in South Africa has also been used as a political football just prior to elections. And while kind of the we've seen at some point of being white and privileged, at the same time, our community is also feeling a bit vulnerable by the actions of our government. And I just wonder, you have worked in both, well, I know it was a while back, but with Cape Town and Joburg Jewish communities. What are the struggles of the Durban Jewish community, and to what extent are they specific, and to what extent are they general?
That's a great question. I think because we are a very small community here in Durban, we need to really work hard on fostering those relationships and building those bridges of communication and engagement with the broader society. And that is something that I'm really hoping our new council will be very involved with, in terms of reaching out to the media here in Durban, reaching out to interfaith leaders, to politicians. Durban is a very vibrant city. We're a vibrant Durban Jewish community, but KZN is really a bellwether in so many ways for the rest of the country, both in terms of xenophobic violence, but also in terms of the politics at the moment with our GNU, what's playing out here in KZN in terms of the IFP, MK, the ANC in KZN is so important. So we need to make sure that we are fostering those relationships, putting the Jewish community here on the map and contributing to social dialogue, but also being able to teach our fellow South Africans about our community, our traditions, and what the Jewish community is doing to build South Africa. So there is so much work to do here. There is so much positive here. We have a very connected community with a wonderful school, organizations from the women's groups and the shuls. So there's so much potential. And I think that, like in Cape Town and Joburg, the bigger issues in terms of our government and what's happening with, for example, the ICJ case also really affect us. But there's so much room for us to foster, particularly around interfaith work as well here.
I think it was a couple of weeks back, I had a representative of the Chabad community talking about Rabbi Shlomo's shul. And I know, I think it was like, 3 months ago, I had the pleasure of being at Izinga, which is so incredibly beautiful. So small though you are, it is such an incredibly vibrant community, excellent food. I know the cheesecake at the Holocaust and Genocide Center is absolutely one of the best. So, Elena.
Yeah. And Elena, I'm very proud of that.
So it's a small but certainly punches way above its weight. And I was also, when I was kind of researching Durban Jewish community, see how incredibly how many South African Jews have contributed to this, not only to Durban but to the country. And really, you have taken, you know, got a lot of work to do, but also come from a very good place. I know you have a meeting. I know that you've stepped out of it for it. So I'm going to let you off a little bit early. But thank you so much for joining me, and good luck with it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to chat to you. Thank you, Cherise.
That was Elena Pugh-Jones-Baranov, and she is the newly elected president of the Jewish Board of Deputies. She is also first South Africa country director for HIAS.